Binzilla, Red Lexion family, it's me, Karem, your host of the podcast Red Lexion about politics, pop culture, and society from an intercultural perspective. As you can hear, I'm expressing myself in English. This will remain the case for the duration of the episode. I'll tell you why in a moment. The first time I had the pleasure of meeting my present guest was at the US consulate in Frankfurt, as part of a press conference regarding German-American cooperation and friendship, and the tasks that lie ahead in this cooperation. At that time, my guest had just started her new role as US ambassador to Germany. The one gracing us with her presence in this episode is none other than Madam US Ambassador Gutmann, or Gutmann, as her name would be pronounced in German. At this point, I would like to thank Mr. Wieland for making this podcast possible. At the time of the interview, Madam US Ambassador and I were at the Karl Schutz House in Freiburg, which made its premises available to us. And as luck would have it, they also have a podcast called Karl and Company, the Transatlantische Podcast. It's available on all streaming platforms. In their podcast, they invite guests from the other side of the big pond. Feel free to listen in. But before we get started, feel free to rate our podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts for more quality episodes. Without further ado, let's get into the episode.
Red Lection.
How fitting it is that we are here at the Karl Schutz House in Germany, Freiburg im Breisgau. The house has been founded in 1952 as America House, and it's a bi-national cultural center where people come together, exchange, especially the US, American citizen, German citizen. Now we are here, Madam Ambassador, me as a German citizen with Cameroonian roots, and you as an US citizen with German and Jewish roots. And it is an honor and pleasure to have you here. Welcome, Madam Ambassador Gutmann.
Thank you so much, Karel. And it's really my pleasure to be here, and also so fitting for me to be here with you, since strengthening alliances across national boundaries has been my highest priority for many decades, and now is our highest priority in U.S. mission Germany. And I love the fact that we're celebrating 70 years of the Karl Schurz House here in Freiburg, and America Houses have been so important to our mission.
Thank you very much. And without further ado, I'd like to initiate our conversation with my first question. If you had to describe yourself in three words, Madam Ambassador, which three words would you choose and why?
That's amazingly hard, but I will, just at the top of my head, passionately committed to justice. Four words.
Passionately committed to justice. Let's focus on the passion, because in our last meeting you said that the issues that were brought to you by young adults were about climate change, social justice, and diversity, furthermore inclusion. What support can you provide to the younger generation to make a positive impact with regard to these important topics?
So I think the younger generation is incredibly idealistic, incredibly committed to combating climate change, incredibly committed not only to diversity but to inclusion. And you use the word inclusion. And for me, it's very important not just to be committed to diversity, because diversity is a fact. we are living in a much more diverse society and world than ever before. But inclusion is a value and a commitment. So you captured the passionately committed to justice in your question, because I think part of my passionate commitment to justice is a commitment to bringing more and more diverse young people to the table and to positions of leadership, and leadership in the vast majority of ways of life, of occupations, of leadership positions that there are here in Germany and the U.S. And strengthening our German-American relationships is going to depend upon my outreach and our embassy's outreach to more and more diverse groups of leaders, and including them in our conversations and our deliberations and in our decision making.
And often when I'm looking for guidance in this fast-changing world, I turn to those closest to me, my family, my close friends and mentors, to gain new perspectives, to minimize my blind spots. As a mother and a grandmother, what advice do you have for your children and grandchildren on how to face the current complex and fast-moving world without, how shall I put it, despairing?
Young people are very idealistic, but they also can get very discouraged because there are so many problems in the world. Indeed, there are crises, the climate crises, the crises of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the abuses of human rights around the world. And I do have advice to young people and to my grandchildren as well, but the first step is listening to them, because I need to know their perspectives, and their perspectives also give me hope, because you can't tell people to have values. You can't tell people be committed to social justice. It has to be something that develops organically and through an education. And young people do have very important values. They care about combating climate change. They care about standing up against abuses of human rights. What I can help them with, I think, is not to be discouraged. My father, you mentioned this, escaped Nazi Germany. He was from an Orthodox Jewish family that traced their roots for hundreds of years in Germany, and yet he had to leave Germany. My mother was desperately poor through the Great Depression. So I am literally the child of two enormous crises of the previous century, the Holocaust and World War II and the Great Depression. And I learned from my parents to keep one's eye on the future and to always have hope. If my parents could have hope, then surely my children and grandchildren can have hope. And so I can teach younger people to look to history for hope and not to give up on their idealism and their ambition. Indeed, democracy takes work, and all the crises we have in the world can only be overcome through work together. And so my messages to young people are, don't despair, have hope, work together, and you'll make a difference.
Thank you. Speaking of breaching the gap between older and younger generations, a few weeks ago, you gave a keynote at the Reeperbahn Festival. It is the largest European platform for international pop culture and the music industry.
Societies need more innovative inclusion. We need more equity. We need more
greater understanding across social divides. We need more Lin-Manuel Mirandas, more Hamiltons, and more heroes and heroines whose stories deserve to be told. What a great way to start the Raperpon Festival 2022. Thank you.
In doing so, you are proactively creating spaces that make it possible to build bridges between generations. How do you plan to facilitate or support these kind of encounters in the future, Madam Ambassador?
Well, first of all, it was so inspiring to be at the Raperpon Festival, and I got the signal honor of being able to introduce the first performance in German of the title song for the musical Hamilton. And the reason I'm calling that out here is that the performance of Hamilton is a great example of what we need to do to move forward in the arts and culture sphere in demonstrating how important inclusion is, because the cast of Hamilton comes from multiple countries, from multiple races, and is a phenomenal performance. So I think what we need to do, and what I intend to do as ambassador, is showcase the great opportunities that exist in Germany for bringing more and more diverse talent to audiences and more diverse people sitting at the table making important decisions to further our causes that are really mutual common causes.
That reminds me of the picture that I have when I'm hearing these words is a buffet. Basically, everybody bringing their personal traits, characteristics together, and that kind of follows up with the more savory topics. We can't possibly end our conversation without talking about Germany's cuisine, which I'm quite fond of. And German food is known to be very diverse, especially when it comes to sausages and bread. For some tourists, this might be an incident where they might despair, not knowing what to order. But what new German dish have you discovered for yourself since you became U.S. ambassador to Germany?
Well, Weisswurst, white sausage,
that is a good one,
which I had never sampled before. I've had pretzels before because Philadelphia is famous for them, but Bavarian pretzels are phenomenal. I love pastries. So every kind of pastry in Germany has been a taste treat for me.
What I can recommend is a Baumstriezel. It's formed like a tree, and it tastes amazing with cinnamon on it.
I love that, and I will use that as a recommendation that I can eat as much of it as I want.
I hope so. In German, there is a term called Heimat. The following explanation is particularly aimed at the English-speaking audience. One might translate the term Heimat roughly as home, but the term goes beyond it. Heimat describes the place which one comes from and can return to at any given time. Idealistically speaking, of course, a place of retreat, so to speak. How much Heimat have you been able to re and discover since starting your current tenure in Germany, Madam Ambassador?
For me, it's been such a return. It's back to the future for me. And I say back to the future, I'm also a film buff, so I love the back to the future, because my father fled for reasons of crisis, and I'm coming back for reasons of opportunity. And I feel like I'm coming back to a home that my father never had. And it's a home that is now full of the kinds of opportunities and hope that I think is just so important for me and my family and for everybody else that I've been able to meet and talk to here. It's so important that this is a home for refugees, to be specific. Mm-hmm. Syrian refugees, Ukrainian refugees, refugees from all over the world, as well as a home to people of lesser means within Germany, who all of whom deserve a better future. So that's why I say it's back to the future. For me, Germany is a home only because it is giving hope to people who need hope and to people who are far less fortunate than my family and I. And the only reason I'm here as U.S. ambassador to Germany is, number one, the President of the United States asked me. And of course, when the President asks, you say yes. But he asked me because he knew about my family's background, mm-hmm. and he knew how important it was for him and his administration and for me and my family that I could come and find a welcoming in Germany, which was not possible for my family just one generation ago. Mm-hmm. For me, that creates a very important mission. My mission is to provide that opportunity for others who are far more in danger today than my family is. But it's also a mission to combat racism, to combat anti-Semitism, to bring Muslims and Jews together to find common cause. Here in Germany, now that Germany is a united, prosperous, and democratic country, help Germany get through this energy crisis. Help Germany ally strongly with the U.S. in providing what Ukraine needs to defend itself. Help us together be that inclusive environment that gives opportunity to all people and creates more prosperous and successful societies.
In a way, a soil that nurtures not only democracy, but certain understanding of morals and getting together. And what kind of message would you like to transmit to the ones listening and looking up to you in your position? And with your influence, not only in the U.S., but in Germany and throughout the world?
I'd like to say that advancing our alliances together by working together, becoming more innovative, inclusively, and defending democracy is something that is not only good for the most people, but also makes all of our lives more joyful and more meaningful. And so I welcome working with you. It's been a pleasure, for example, getting to know you and getting to know so many other people here in Germany who we can work together with so productively and actually joyfully for really, really important causes. They're hard. It's hard work, but it's good work. And I've always been blessed by having jobs that are more than work. They're missions, and that I get to meet so many talented, great people and work together with them. That's truly, for me, been a blessing of my life, and I hope I can convey that blessing and share it with so many other people here in Germany.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate your time, your words, and the kindness that you convey throughout them to the ones listening and maybe the new ones that might come to listen, not only to the podcast, but also to the messages that you have to share and to join you on your mission to fulfill these
ideas, these gracious ideas that you hold within yourself. So, the end of the day, thank you very much, Madam Ambassador.
Oh, thank you so much. Vielen Dank.
Gange schön.
Bitte.
If you have reached here, then you have listened to the podcast episode in full. Thank you for your time and undivided attention. I thank Madam U.S. Ambassador Gutman for her perspective and presence on Redlektion. We see that often in sharing, brain cells are re-energized. We need to talk more. We need to have more conversation, more exchange between generations, social groups, governments, friends, family, etc. After all, we all live in the same house, even if we perceive it differently. There is no shame in not knowing, but it is unforgivable to want to remain ignorant in the face of truth. If you like our podcast, leave us a positive review on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Until next time, peace and love. Your host, Karel. Oh.